Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. From God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text comes from Luke 14, verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We pray. Lord God, in a world that seeks to exalt itself, and especially individually, we pray that you would teach us the joy of walking in humility and living to have your name exalted and to exalt our neighbors. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as I've seen, last week I was in Colorado, and I have a short story about being exalted and humbled. So that is our text. I did get to climb four mountains. Not all that I wanted to do, but something I really enjoy doing is climbing mountains. And the one I got to was one of the more harder ones, and took a long time. So I was feeling pretty good, and got to the top. And you actually have to do this move called it's literally called the leap of faith. So you have to jump over an exposed gap that plummets way down to the depths. But anyway, I was able to do it, and I was pretty proud. And then as we were coming down, we met a couple other girls, and they had already done it. And like, oh yeah, isn't that great? I'm like, oh yeah, this is our second one already. And then later we saw them do a third one, and it's just a little bit later. And as I was coming down, all of a sudden I felt really nauseous, and I was starting to feel sick. And even though I probably only had like 1,000 more feet to go for my next one, I just couldn't do it. I was just too tired. And I had to go down and do the walk of shame down the mountain. But this little example of me being exalted and being humbled in just a short while. Not to mention when the clouds move in and you have the danger of lightning striking you. It's really easy to feel how small and helpless you really are, despite the joy of even summiting a mountain. So being exalted and being humbled. And that's kind of what Jesus is talking about in our gospel reading. The Pharisees actually invite Jesus in order to humble him, but they find out that they're the ones who are being humbled. As doesn't really work when you try to trick Jesus too well. So they invite him, and since they're watching him carefully, right, they're trying to catch him in some kind of a trap and catch him in something he says or something he does. And so they have all these Sabbath laws that they collected and have kept as part of their traditions and interpretations of the Old Testament. And so when they see someone who's sick, one of their laws was not to do any work at all on the Sabbath day, right? So even for Jesus to heal someone, it would be considered breaking their laws, the laws of Moses. But Jesus catches them in it and heals the person anyway. They simply ask him the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So what's really the point of the Sabbath? Is that you don't do anything, or is that you focus on worshiping the Lord and resting in him and doing his will? So there's an example there of Jesus humbling the Pharisees into what it really means to do God's will and to follow him. And then he has another example here when he Notice how they all take the seats of honor in verse 7. They're all choosing the best seats, and they're invited to this meal. And notice it's that a ruler of the Pharisees, so it's a pretty guy, he's pretty high up, right? And the Pharisees themselves would always try to exalt themselves and how they dressed and how they looked on the outside and the people that they hung out with. And especially at mealtime, it was very important who you invited to your house as a symbol of your status, right? The people you hung out with and ate with were a symbol of your own status. And so the Pharisees probably invited the best people to their house that day. And yet, even they themselves would come and take the best seats, which, again, was a symbol of status, showing that they were worthy of being better than the other people there. But again, Jesus humbles them. He says, when you're invited, don't take the best place, take the lowest place. Because someone might say, someone better than you might come, and then you have the walk of shame, right, to go back down. It's the lowest place. It's kind of like when you come and sit in a place and it's reserved, and it's it's reserved, and you have to go do the walk of shame down back to the lowest place. And so Jesus gives them that, and then he gives them one more example that in the people that they invited, that when they give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you and repay you. But verse 13, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. It's quite a different idea than they were thinking. So there's three times there that Jesus seeks to humble the Pharisees, even though that they were trying to humble him. And maybe it's a little bit hard to relate to this because it's a meal and you're not a Pharisee. But we do have the same attitude that we seek to exalt ourselves as we live our lives, maybe even in who we eat with, and who we spend our time with, seeking to only be with those who would help our status, to benefit us in some way, the people that can repay us. It's always the kind of the first people on your guest list, the first people that you want to spend time with, or maybe to advance your career, or maybe the ones that you know that will be kind to you, something like that. And then Jesus would come to us today, though, to humble us, so that we have a proper estimation of who we are. Because the Pharisees, they didn't get a proper estimation of themselves. They were way up here based on the list of rules and traditions that they thought meant a measure of worth. And so they had a way overinflated view of themselves. What Jesus does is he comes to us and he humbles us by telling us the truth about what God really wants from us and expects from us. And especially we see this in the cross, don't we? The cross is something that humbles each and every one of us. As we look to it and just see the weight of all the sin that Jesus suffered for and what he had to go through to pay for our sin. And you can't help but be humbled and brought low. And he does it as we live our lives. Maybe we go along and we get full of our pride because of what we've done or what we've achieved or because of who we hang out with or what we have. We kind of get to thinking that we deserve the best seat. That maybe God doesn't care if we just keep persisting willfully in the sins that we're doing. And yet, he takes advantages to humble us. Thanks be to God, because what we don't want is to be humbled on the last day when Jesus returns and there's no chance to repent. But he humbles us now so that we might be lifted up, restored and forgiven, to follow him and to live for him. And so he comes to us and he allows us to be caught, maybe stealing or cheating or lying or watching something that we shouldn't or a website that we shouldn't be on or gossiping or slandering. When we seek to exalt ourselves, God humbles us so that we see ourselves clearly. We learn to live clearly under him, drawing from his strength every day as we follow him. Because the truth is, Jesus was exalted. He had everything, right? All the riches of heaven, the throne of God. Yet he gave it all up. He humbled himself, became a servant, became a mere person, so that he could live the life for us that we couldn't live. And be the lowest of the low on the cross, so that we would be exalted. He didn't do it because he was less. He did it because he wanted to exalt us. He wanted to connect us with him again. So no longer our sins would separate us from him. And so, even though when we live as humble people, people will probably say that we are low or worthless. It's kind of like when Jesus healed the man who had dropsy and started to accuse him. Well, they had evil thoughts in their hearts. What are they doing? Or when Jesus was accused of hanging out with gluttons and drunkards, they called him a glutton and a drunkard. So as you change who you hang out with, you'll probably be accused of that thing. You'll probably be accused of being worthless or whatever. But you see, we're free to do that because we know who we are. You know that in Jesus we've already been exalted through our relationship with him. And we know that one day when we die, will be repaid in the resurrection of all people. And he'll tell to us, friend, move up a little higher. Move to a place at my table, the marriage feast of the Lamb of God and his kingdom, which has no end. Move up to restore your body to life everlasting. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 131 has such a peaceful demeanor. My heart is not lifted up. My eyes aren't raised too high. I don't consider myself in things too great or marvelous. But I simply rest in the Lord like a weaned child with his mother. Simply rest and trust in God. My hope, my trust, my security. And rest in me, exalted one. And rest humbly in him. And it's in living under Jesus that he allows us to not live to exalt ourselves, but to live to exalt our neighbors. We can get a bunch of examples, not only in our Hebrews reading, but in our Gospel reading. It doesn't mean that we're looking down on ourselves, but it means that we stoop down to help our neighbor. It doesn't mean that we don't love ourselves, but it means that our love pours out to our neighbor. Just in the same way Jesus didn't mean he was less when he served, but he chose to serve. That's his song. Living in purity and generosity, being content because the Lord is with us, won't forsake us, even bearing reproach for the witness of the gospel, not neglecting to do good, but sharing what we have, giving and not expecting anything in return, because we know that the Lord will reward us. Jesus and the cross, we see that we are humbled. That we cannot do anything good on our own. We don't deserve the best seat. But he says, that's the seat that I prepare for you. The resurrection of the dead. And your purpose here in life is to exalt my name. It's to exalt your neighbor. So that they too would know me. Know my great love. We look forward to the hope of the day when he will exalt us to a place at his table, the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus. Be risen and exalted one. Amen.